There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
To Patrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in to NFL Friday, WFUV's best and only NFL podcast. I'm Griffin Stevenson, joined by Derek Bullier and Max Langer. Finally, back in the studio for NFL Friday. Last week, had our kind of playoff prediction extravaganza, but last few podcasts have been over Zoom due to winter break. Max, I'll start with you. How was your winter break as a whole?
You know, my winter break was pretty good. I went back to LA. I experienced the warm weather that we don't have in New York, although it was raining for a lot of the time, so I didn't really escape it, but it was great. Watched a lot of great football, college and especially NFL, and it's good to be back, though.
Derek, how about you?
I'm doing double duty here. I'm producing and doing this, so I had to run in here. But good winter break. It could have been a little better. I didn't really do much, to be honest with you. That's fine. It's a break. But heartbreaking football. We'll get into it in a little bit. Again, good college football as well. But obviously, NFL is what we're going to be talking about today. But a lot of good football.
Oh yeah, I was at University of Oregon for the game against Indiana, talk about heartbreak. Like, I just remember the silence that fell over the room when
literally 6 seconds in, the pick six.
This is NFL podcast, but I guess that's something with NFL draft implications. Dante Moore just announced that he's staying.
Mm-hmm. I was announcing at 2:30, but I didn't even
know. So it's Dante Moore staying, and so it's Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola. So probably the best quarterback room in college football, but again, as an Oregon fan, I'm sure Oregon will go undefeated or be a one-loss team and then lose in the playoff like they do every year. I mean, it's what they do every year. But getting into the playoffs, we had quite the exciting wild card round. Honestly, I think what mostly we're talking about, besides that Texans-Steelers game, maybe the Patriots-Chargers game, maybe the most exciting wild card round we've had in a long, long time. I mean, every game was
one score.
Yeah, it was down to the wire. Yeah. Nail biters. A lot of them. Pretty much all of them won on final drives. So, I mean, can't ask for more than that as an NFL fan. But I guess we'll start by breaking down the matchup that had fans of both teams in here to talk about it. Mm. The Rams winning 34-31 in Carolina, defeating the Carolina Panthers. Max, I'll start with you just because your team ended up on top. What do you have to say about that game?
Well, you know, I went into it thinking, you know, it was going to be a Rams blowout because they typically have in their past rounds of in past playoffs, they have blown out their opposing team in the wild card round. They beat the Cardinals. They were up 21-0 on the Cardinals at halftime when they had their Super Bowl run in 21, and then they picked off Sam Darnold like 8 times in the wild card game against the Vikings last year. And it looked like they were going to run away with this one. You know, they were up 14-0. I thought they were going to breeze, but, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Bryce Young and the Panthers. They stayed there and battled in the game. And towards the end, when the Rams were down, I think it was 31-27 in that final drive, I was like, it's going to end the same way it did in, snowy Philadelphia last year when they were unable to capitalize on the final drive. But, you know, Stafford, he has proven over the course of his career with the Rams that he can get it done in the big moments, even though he hasn't all the time. But, you know, it was enough, and the Rams are moving on. And in the playoffs, that's all that matters.
As the Panthers fan of WFUV, this is a hard watch. It was a hard watch. And Max, I don't love that you said it's going to be a Rams blowout. But, you know, I can, you know, we were 10-point underdog, so I can see where you're coming from. But I mean, I really can't even be mad at any of this game. I really can't. The Panthers weren't. I mean, we won five games last year. The Panthers, going from. I mean, we only won or they only won eight this year, but it's an improvement. It still won the NFC South. So like, who cares?
One in quotation marks.
Okay, just because three teams were tied for first doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
no, I mean like the other teams lost it. You know.
Okay, well, yeah, but let's pretend that the Bucks made it though. The Bucks would not have put up this.
I don't think the Bucks would have done as well.
No,
the Falcons definitely wouldn't have. They were eliminated a while ago, but they were 8-9. The Bucks would not have put up near. That would have been 50-7. Like it would have been nothing. But I mean, I'm really happy with how a lot of this game happened, except literally like the last 2 minutes. Please fire our defensive coordinator. Just kidding. He got extended for 2 years. But Bryce Young, really good game. I mean, he had his mandatory turnover. He always does. But he pretty much dueled Stafford for a lot of this game. There was really no run game on either side, to be honest. But, I mean, Puka obviously did a lot. Puka quite literally saved your season. He became a DB for a second and saved an interception from Stafford.
True. Yeah, so, I saw a ton of people online getting like incredibly mad at Mike Jackson for not making that play, which makes no sense
hard
to me.
It
wasn't even Mike Jackson though. It was one of our safeties.
Nick Scott?
No,
Scott?
It was a safe. I forget who it was, but
was it Horn?
No, he got hurt
Mike Jackson made like every other play in the game though.
Yeah. Mike Jackson had like career game, and the Panthers had the best corner duo in the whole league.
He was doing former Seahawk Mike Jackson. He was trying to give us one last little.
Yeah, well, former Ram Roseboom screwed us over. Yeah. But just really the only part that I can be mad about is the fact that literally on every single play, Stafford had a dude wide open in the middle for 15 yards. And he spammed that on the last drive. It took him. He had three timeouts and the two-minute timeout. He didn't even use any of his timeouts. He only used the two-minute warning to go down the field in 2 minutes and give the Panthers 30 seconds to score again. Which the Panthers ultimately didn't complete a single pass, but we don't have to talk about that. But it's just the defense at the end not holding up sucked, but the fact that the Panthers even made the playoffs, really happy about. The fact they put up a fight against when they were 10-point underdogs. The Rams have been Super Bowl favorites for a lot of this year. The fact that the Panthers put up a fight shows a lot, and I also, especially Bryce Young, love seeing his development. And then all of us, also the wide receiver 1-2 duo of Jalen Coker and Terrell McMillan. McMillan likely offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Jalen Coker, this is really his biggest show out game so far. He best receiver on the field on either side, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Incredible throw and catch, by the way, for the Panthers final score in the corner of the end zone for Bryce Young to Coker. But I mean, I've seen a lot of Panthers fans mad about certain things happening in this game. I can't be mad about anything. Just being in this game and seeing the bank how it was, it's just insane. And I think the Panthers have a really good future so far. I think they have a really good future. I think that there's a lot to be excited about. Just got to draft good.
Yeah, I also think just traditionally Super Bowl teams down the line, eventually you have to have like the young players go through one or two or however many heartbreaking playoff losses before they overcome the hurdle.
You need playoff experience.
This is where you get it. This is Bryce Young's first playoff game. Terrell McMillan obviously being a rookie, a lot of the wide receiver, a lot of the offense in general is rookies. But then there are a couple veterans on this team, but there's a lot of really, really young players, and getting this playoff experience, getting that heartbreak, like you said, is going to do monuments more than if the Panthers just had another 5-win season or something.
I think the takeaway for me is just, it's the thing that's been the story of the Rams season, honestly. I think the reason why this game was close is because special teams for the Rams has been abysmal, honestly.
That block punt was awesome.
They fired their first special
teams. First in-season hire by McVay in his whole tenure.
Yeah, and so that's something they really got to iron out, I think. As they head to Chicago, because the Bears at home beat the Packers in a playoff game. The first time Chicago has beaten the Packers in a playoff game since the weekend after Pearl Harbor. Fun fact.
Holy.
That's how long it's
Pearl
been.
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, that's how long it's been since they've beaten the Packers in the playoffs.
Was that 41?
Yeah, 40, so like 42, I think.
Some like 80 some odd years.
Yeah. Holy. Yeah. But they win 31-27. Packers were up 21-3 at halftime. Just an abysmal second half performance. By Matt LaFleur and his team. I mean, honestly, McManus, real one to blame, missed extra point field goals.
Yeah.
Jordan Love honestly put a pretty good stat line, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns. But Caleb Williams, kind of showing that he can be the real deal and is the real deal for Chicago. A great, an amazing play on fourth down, just really led this team, and they're showing that they're a really, really exciting team. The one thing they got to do is maybe stop going for it on fourth down so much.
Yeah, I won't lie. I was watching this game, and then halftime hit, and I was like, oh, okay, the Packers won, and I turned it off. And then my friend called me like 2 hours later and was like, the Bears won. I'm like, no, they didn't. I turned it on, and the game had just ended, and the Bears had won. I'm like, what?
I was rooting for the Packers as the Seahawks fan because I wanted to play the Packers, but I was like, wow. I got to hand it to them.
I did not think that that was going to
I think the funniest part for me was at halftime, they interviewed Matt LaFleur, and they were like, so, you know, going in the second half, what do you need to do? And he's like, these guys, they've been coming back all year. We need to put them away. And then, they played a good third quarter, and then just everything fell apart. I think that, you know, as great as the Bears played in that fourth quarter, it didn't really convince me that they're capable of making a run to the Super Bowl. I just don't think they're consistent enough, and I don't think their defense is that great because I don't really think the Packers' offense is that great, but you saw they put up 27 points on the Bears. You know, honestly, I'd put more money on like the Texans winning the Super Bowl than I would the Bears.
Well, you saw, I mean, yeah, the Bears played the Niners too. Offense did what it needed to do, and then they lost purely because you can't let the Niners put up like 40 plus points against you. You know what I mean? Like that's something they got to work out. Kind of side note, you mentioned the like halftime interviews. I hate the halftime interviews because it's always like, As a coach, it's like, all right, what do you guys need to do? And it's always just like a roundabout version, of score more points than the other team, which is like,
what are they going to do? Tell you the plays? Like they're not going to. They can't say anything specific.
Right.
Like,
it's also the same two questions every time. What'd you do well? What do you need to do better? Basically,
we need to stop being so bad. We need to play better than the other team. It's like, okay,
we need to score more points.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah. Didn't need a.
thank you for that. Thank you for the astute analysis that we
needed. Moving on, Buffalo Bills defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, 27-24. I want to talk about the main thing, controversial sort of touch push at the end where the refs didn't blow it dead and Josh Allen's allowed to like walk 11 yards down to the one, which is ironic considering that the Bills were one of like the main teams that were really campaigning for the touch push to be banned at the end of last season. I think this shows that Josh Allen, I mean, just having a team with Josh Allen is a recipe enough for the Bills, even though they've kind of had a worse team, I think, than they've had in the past like few years, but still get it done. But yeah, I don't know. It's one that still doesn't really convince me about the Bills.
It really doesn't. Like you said, this is one of the worst teams that Josh Allen has had in the past couple years, even though his road to the playoffs is better for him with obviously no Mahomes, no Burrow, no Jackson. But their team isn't much better, and they barely beat the Jags when Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he had a fine game. The three touchdowns, yes, but only 200 yards and still two picks. One of them sealed the game. It's not like a hugely impressive performance from the Jags, and it really doesn't tell me anything about the Bills. Like, it doesn't. I think the game against the Broncos is going to matter a lot. They do play the Broncos, right?
Yeah. It comes down to just, for me, Josh Allen's good. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I just think I look at the rest of the AFC playoff field, that is there anybody there that you'd really feel confident in picking over the Bills?
Yeah.
Because I think the Broncos are good. We saw what Drake May did against the Chargers. You know, I don't really trust the Patriots, and come on, the Texans.
No, I'm very bullish on the Texans.
Oh, come on. It's the Texans, man.
At the start of the playoffs, my Super Bowl prediction was Texans Seahawks, and I still stand by that. I think
I'm fine with that.
I think the Texans defense is so good, but yeah, CJ Stroud, I don't know, again, it's one of those things, like, if also we'll talk about it a little bit, like the Texans doing, like, CJ Stroud doing so poorly and then them still blowing out the Steelers really gave me hope that like Seahawks defense can just really hard carry Sam Darnold across the line and
playoff Darnold.
Yeah. I hate that. We'll talk about that in a sec. I hate that narrative, but Bills advance.
Bad in the playoffs.
The next three, he's had one playoff game. His coach refused to run the ball, and he got sacked 10 times.
Oh.
That's.
I don't know. Sounds like his fault.
You better hope the Bears win, because that guy can't play against the Rams.
Yes.
Either.
Oh, I mean, he did lead the game winning drive, but against you. The next three games, the final three games of Wild Card Weekend, all resulted in coaches' firings on the part of the losing team.
Well, Mike Tomlin didn't get fired. But.
Yeah, but like, that's like being like the breakup was mutual.
Mutually
exclusive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but starting off, Niners head into Philadelphia and win 23-19. Honestly, I heard a lot of people say that the Niners would win this game, and I honestly didn't really believe them because I thought the way they lost the Seahawks at home to lose the division and the one seed would be so demoralizing to any team, and they're so banged up, and then you got to go play in Philly, a team that historically kind of had their number in the playoffs, but they really kind of showed how poor the Eagles' offense is and also that they're resilient. I mean, the Niners shouldn't be this far in the playoffs, honestly. No, their team is so banged up.
And now they have Kittle out. I mean,
lose Kittle.
Who are they going to throw the ball to at this point?
I guess you have Tongues now stepping up.
You spam CMC over and over. Yeah. You run CMC, you throw to him. You run him, and then you throw to him. That's all you can do.
Shame they're playing a defense that's like tailor-made to stop him. But I don't know. Ricky Pearsall maybe will be coming back, but the Niners fans hate him because they think he's kind of quitting on the team like Ayuk and not rallying back to injury. If they make the NFC Championship, they have Fred Warner eligible to come back.
They got to make it first.
Yeah, they got to make it first, but it's more, I think this loss really just highlights how, I think the Eagles having horrible vibes all season and just offensive issues really caught up to them. A.J. Brown didn't play well either. A couple drops. They ran like 42% of their plays. Their receivers ran hitch routes, which is crazy. Like, they just had no creativity on the offensive side of the ball.
I saw a couple of videos on just the internet. Like, the Eagles, like, their play calling was just boring. Like, it had no, like, it wasn't shocking at all. They were just running, like, basically, they were, like, just playing Madden and just hitting, like, recommended play.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they were doing.
Petullo's gone. I mean,
I don't even think he was really the problem, to be honest, because towards the end of the season, Sirianni took over as the main play caller. Yeah. And at that point, you know, other than, you know, in practice and stuff, what is the offensive coordinator, you know, really making a huge difference? But I do think that, you know, from kind of the start of the season when the Eagles had whatever it was, like that 2 or 3 game losing streak when they were like 4-0, that it kind of felt destined that, you know, they weren't the same team. And they have to make some like big changes in
for
the offseason.
Sure. It's nice too. Now we know for sure there's going to be a new Super Bowl champion this year, not going to be back to back. Also, only one of the teams out of the 8 remaining has a Super Bowl ring, one of the quarterbacks, and it's Matthew Stafford. Every other quarterback does not have a ring.
Wow.
So, interesting opportunity there. But the Chargers and Patriots now, 16-13, really bad for Justin Herbert's legacy, I think. same thing as the Brady era, where you have a quarterback that honestly doesn't play well in a playoff game and still wins because his defense was good enough.
Yeah.
Like, Drake May didn't play well, in my opinion.
No.
Didn't do anything to wow me. But Justin Herbert just played bad. Yeah, granted, his O-line does him no help. I mean, he literally has the worst offensive line in the league. You see it. It's like a joke.
I saw he has 31 pass attempts, 30 of them he was under pressure.
Yeah, but he missed, like, McConkey wide open downfield. He missed a couple of plays, like, that you need to take shots at field. They fired offensive coordinator Greg Roman. They fired the O-line coach Mike Devlin after this game. And they had chances. They got a takeaway that put them on the 10. They didn't create any points off that. Can't create points off turnovers. You're not gonna win games. And I think his one where it's just like seems like the same old Chargers and Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with the Chargers, especially over like the last 3 years or I guess 2 years ever since they hired Harbaugh, is that they're good enough in the regular season to, you know, beat up on these poor teams because they have the talent. But when you get to the postseason, I just kind of gets exposed that, you know, maybe Herbert isn't as good as you think he is against these, you know, more elite cornerbacks and linemen that he's facing. Oh, his offensive line sucks. I just don't think that, you know, I mean, I don't think the Chargers really have ever had a chance to win this game or advance that far in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't think they ever realistically were going to win this game. I mean, Herbert getting sacked 6 times isn't great. I mean, it's just, the O-line is so bad. It's just so bad, and you can make up for it in the regular season, but once you hit the playoffs, you can't make up for it at that point. The Chargers need to do a lot with that O-line to do anything, but even then, is Justin Herbert, we haven't seen him be able to play in the playoffs, so Yeah. There's still the debate with is it his O-line or does he just suck in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the issue is that in the last few years they've done stuff to address the O-line, and these guys have just gotten like season-ending injuries on like the third play of the year, and then he's stuck with, you know, third stringers in the divisional round or whatever.
And then they also have guys like the O-line, a lot of the guys there were really good at one point, but now they're so old that they've kind of lost it. So Chargers definitely need to reevaluate what they do, definitely draft another O-lineman, continue to work on that. Patriots move on. Last game, our obligatory wild card blowout. The Houston Texans win in Pittsburgh 30-6. Mike Tomlin steps down afterward, his third consecutive, I believe, 9-8 season where he's their wild card exit. So doing what he does best. But for me, the story of the game is, first of all, CJ Stroud fumbled the ball 4 times in the first half. 2 of them were recovered by Steelers. He broke the record for the most fumbles by a player in a wild card game in the first half. Before the Steelers had a single turnover, they were winning the turnover battle 3-0, and they didn't capitalize on any of those turnovers. And that, in my opinion, is what lost in the game, because then they put themselves in a position where now you set yourself up for Aaron Rodgers, then lose a fumble, pick 6 by the Texans defense. But Texans defense, man, they look really, really good.
Yeah, well, it also doesn't help that Aaron Rodgers can't throw the ball more than like 10 yards down the field. But I do think the Texans' defense is good. What you said about Stroud, you know, I think, and I've always believed that you need an elite quarterback to win in the playoffs. Like, your defense can't take you there. And although the Texans, you know, they look good, I mean, I guess it was a blowout, although it was like a 3-point game up until like 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. So I think the score made it look, you know, it was closer than the score made it look. But they're going to New England, right, to play the Patriots. That'll be a fun game, you know, Drake May against the Texans defense. We'll see if he can prove himself there.
Well, yeah. I think with how Drake May played against the Chargers defense, I don't know how well he's going to do against the Texans defense. Yeah. So the Texans, I mean, they might just get carried by their defense the whole way. I think it just would take one or two big plays against that defense to kind of stop them. But if their defense can prevent those big plays, like those big touchdowns and stuff, they definitely could. They could make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think we can talk about that game now. I think the Texans do beat the Patriots, because I really think the Patriots haven't seen a defense like this Texans team. And like you said, how Drake May played, I just don't really know how they're going to get past it. The Patriots defense has to be lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to take advantage of Stroud's mistakes. You can't let them – I think you really can't let them get a lead at any point in this game, honestly. I think the Patriots really need to be playing from the front, because this Texan defense, they just line up in cover 2 every possession, it seems like, and they just say, like, we're better than you, and they are. It's crazy. I think this will be a very much-needed win for the Patriots, so they can get it to kind of silence the doubters, but my money, honestly, is with the Texans.
I think if C.J. Stroud can just limit his mistakes to – I mean, not 4 fumbles, if he just doesn't fumble 4 times. I think if he can just limit those mistakes to, like, the minimum that he can possibly do, I think that they just win. Because I think the defense is just too good, especially with how Drake May played.
Yeah, I think so, too. Plus, you know, Drake May, he probably is going to need some time to adjust the playoffs. And Nico Collins, he's going to be good to go for this game, right?
I believe so, yeah. It's so. Concussion.
They cleared it or whatever?
Yeah, they also – you find a way in the playoffs to make your players play. Yeah,
like Josh Allen, like, constantly going into the tent and stuff, he was never leaving that game.
Yeah, exactly.
He was never going to get out of that game. Unless literally his leg is snapped in half, he's not leaving the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stroud has people to throw to, and I assume the Texans will advance just because their defense is so good. But, you know, whatever they do, I honestly don't see them getting past the Bills, because I think Josh Allen is good enough to beat Texans defense.
Yeah, you think the Bills beat the Broncos?
Oh, come on. The Broncos are, like, the worst number one seed of all
time. I guess, but also the Broncos have such a good O-line. It's just whether Bo Nix can capitalize on having all that time. And he's, like, the number one quarterback. He has the most, like, points left on the field, I'm pretty sure. Like, he has so many open receivers deep, and he just misses them.
Mm-hmm.
So if Bo Nix can all of a sudden, like, lock in, I think they'd be very scary. And Josh Allen is known to have his occasion. Like, Josh Allen throws picks. Like, he does. But
he also throws dimes.
Yeah.
But in the playoffs, he's been better than he has been in the regular
I think this
season.
Will be like the Jaguars, where you have a balanced team in the Broncos against the Bills, and it'll probably be a close game, and it'll wind down again to, like, oh, you gave Josh Allen the ball in his hands for the final drive. Yeah, and then
I think this game is going to suck for 3 quarters,
Yeah.
It's going to be like 3-0 Bills or something through three quarters, and then the fourth quarter it's going to be like 30 points on each side.
Yeah.
That's been the theme of the playoffs so far.
Well, also, just neither of these teams are good in the first half.
Yeah,
the Broncos score 30 in the fourth quarter to beat the Giants or whatever. Like, yeah. they that's what they do. They just score at the very end. The Bills are a second-half team, too, so it's just going to probably be like Josh Allen throws a pick, Bo Nix throws a pick, a fumble, punt, and then they'll lock in the fourth quarter.
They played last year in Buffalo and in the wild card, and that was a blowout. The Broncos did strike first there. I think it'll be a little different, but yeah, I think what you mentioned, just kind of look ahead, I do think if the Bills win this game, that'll be a lot of momentum, and I think it will be kind of scary if you're the Texans being like, the closer they get, you know, to that Super Bowl, the more it'll kind of, I feel like there will be an air of like, oh, is this, are the Bills finally going to do it, you know, like, and that can kind of get into teams' heads. Moving the divisional round, we'll start with the Niners heading to Seattle. And yes, I'm a Seahawks fan.
I wonder what he's going to pick.
For the audio listeners, I'm wearing a Seahawks hat right now in the studio. But I will say, Seahawks beat up on the Niners bad at Levi's to end the season. Niners are coming against a tough game. They've been beat up all year. Tough game across the country. You lose your second best offensive weapon behind Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, tears his Achilles, and they're coming now off of 5 days of rest that they're going to get because this game's on Saturday night. The Seahawks have 17 days of rest, and I saw a stat the rest differential of like 12 days, teams that have had that big a rest differential in the playoffs are 17-0. It's also the first game like of the playoffs that have been back in Seattle since that NFC championship game where the Seahawks beat the Packers. This one's at night too. I just find it hard to believe that the Niners pulled this one out given how good the Seahawks defense is, how much time they've had, and kind of, I do think the Seahawks team is kind of built to beat the Niners in the sense that the Seahawks have the best run defense in the league, and the Niners really need to get McCaffrey going if they're going to have a shot to win this game. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to watch the game. I think the Seahawks have arguably the most satisfying run you could ever ask for if they go to the Super Bowl, because there's a shot that the Seahawks beat the Niners at home or beat the Niners on the road to get the one seed in the division, beat the Niners at home, end their season, beat the Rams in the conference championship to end their season. Then you can go and play like the Patriots and get revenge there. That could be the most satisfying run of all time. See if that's destined to be. I do think the Seahawks will be playing at home in the NFC championship. I know the stat thing, again, is like stats are meant to be broken. Brock Purdy hasn't lost in Seattle. The Seahawks, every time they've had the one seed in the franchise history, has made the Super Bowl. Also, a crazy, crazy stat. Seahawks have never lost at home in the playoffs in their entire franchise
history.
Really? Never lost at home.
Interesting.
I think when it comes to playoff time, Seattle is the hardest place to play. Aside from maybe, honestly, I'd say Lambeau.
I was gonna say Green Bay.
Lambeau.
What about SoFi Stadium, baby. Yeah.
No fans. Okay. No fan. That's a home game for the Niners. You guys are lucky you didn't get the Niners, because that's a home game for the Niners.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's the Seahawks. Super Bowl to lose. They're Vegas' favorite team. They're a lot of people's favorite team. I think that's for a reason. They're balanced.
I just don't see a world where the Seahawks, unless Sam Darnold literally throws like six picks, I don't see a world where the Niners can both score on the Seattle defense and and Seattle can't score on the Niners defense.
Yeah.
I just don't see a world where that happens.
Because their run defense is – the Niners' run defense
is
atrocious.
You could start on the Niners' defense right now.
Yeah.
You could start.
Yeah,
I agree with all your guys' points. And I also think, like, from a Niners aspect, like, if they lose, they'll be able to be like, oh, you know, we were injured. We're never going to win the Super Bowl anyway.
They've already started saying that.
The Seahawks, it's like, you lose this game, there's no excuses.
There isn't.
You know, there's excuses if you lose to the Rams because they're the best team in football.
Debate.
They are, except for their outside
best
corner
offense.
Play.
I'll give you that. You have they have the best offense. And
but you know, there's I don't think
there's
no world in which the Seahawks lose this game.
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, yeah, the Niners have kind of already started talking about that like that. Yeah, the Seahawks. If the thing with Seahawks is if you let the Seahawks run the ball, I don't care what team you are. If the Seahawks can run the ball, you're gonna lose. And the Niners really can't stop the run to save their life. Also, they should have. Darnold missed Charbonnet like wide open at the start of the game against the Niners, or like 2 weeks ago, the Seahawks could have beat the Niners easily, like 28-3 at that point. Like, held them to 3 points. Also, the Seahawks team wants, like, everyone there. I will actually say, though, do not be surprised if there's more Niners fans in that stadium than there should be, I would say. The Niners fans do travel really well, and there are a lot of Niners fans in Seattle.
And it's easy commute from San Francisco, too.
It is. So, we'll see. Oh, I forgot to mention about the satisfying thing, too, is it would also be winning the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. So, that would be the honestly, the way I think one of the Niners' divisional rivals is going to win the Super Bowl at their own stadium. I think it's going to be the Seahawks or the Rams.
But there's at least a 75% chance that an NFC West team will be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Last game, Rams-Bears. I'll let you go on this, Max. It's going to be like 20 degrees in Chicago. Bears, the Rams don't have a really bad history against the Bears. I think they're like 2-9 under McVay against the Bears. Some teams just have their number.
They also haven't won in Chicago in like a long time.
Yeah, but at the same time, we mentioned this, they are the best offense in the league, and this Bears defense gives up a lot of points.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I personally think like the playing in the cold thing is kind of overblown a lot of the time. Like,
unless you're the Dolphins.
The allegations that the Rams can't play in the cold, you know, although they did lose to Philadelphia twice in the last 12 months in cold, snowy games at whatever the name is, Seahawks.
Matthew Stafford is 2-8 if the weather's below 40 degrees.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really buy that.
It's also the best season in his career.
I think the Rams, I think there's, you know, both defenses are not good, so there's going to be a lot of offense in this game. I think the Rams outside corner defense is awful. I don't think the Bears defensive line is very good, and Stafford's going to have a lot of time to throw the ball. I also don't think his finger, you know, he sprained it in the game. I don't think that's much of a factor. Honestly, it just comes down to probably who makes the last play of this game. But I, you know, as a pessimistic sports fan who always says my teams are going to lose and then acts surprised when they're going to win, I think it's really likely that the Rams win this game.
You guys got to worry about, honestly, well, Bears secondary, they lead the league in, like, takeaways. They pick off the ball more than anyone. So Stafford really has to be on it, can't miss a lot of throws. And then also, you guys, only other issue is, and I think the glaring issue is, your guys' secondary is not that.
And Akella Witherspoon is out, too. Yeah. They should have signed Stephon Gilmore. I guess maybe that's probably too late now on Wednesday with the Sunday game. But
I mean, it's – that'll be the difference maker if the Bears do end up winning. But I think this is – I think the Rams-Bears, besides obviously my Seahawks game, is the game that I'm most looking forward to watching, because I think no matter what it will be – I think it will be a good game.
I think Puka's going to have like 200 yards.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think he's just going to, I think it's just going to be Stafford to Puka over and over and over. And then obviously, I mean, if Stafford even messes up at all, Puka's just going to play corner and knock the ball down and not let the Bears get the takeaway.
Yeah.
But I think the Bears will definitely put up a fight, but I don't know if it's a good enough fight.
Yeah. I guess really quickly, we have a little bit of time. We can now use our predictions to continue hypotheticals. Rams go to Seattle. We can debate this. I think the Seahawks hired Mike McDonald for one reason, really, and that was you're going to have to play Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs, and you're going to have to play Sean McVay in the playoffs at some point if you're going to win a Super Bowl, and that's why they brought him in. I think if the Seahawks don't run zone against the Rams, the Seahawks win. However, like if I'm Mike McDonald, I'm putting Tariq Woolen man coverage against Puka. Puka,
you have to.
Puka's good, but he is not as good when he's getting man coverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Puka really does rely a lot on Sean McVay, brilliant offensive play calling where he finds himself over the middle of the field, got linebackers on him.
Right.
And
I know, I watched it for 3 hours.
Yeah. It's just
the issue with the man coverage, though, is that it unlocks Davante Adams more.
That's true.
But you'd rather Davante Adams beat you than Puka, I think.
If I'm the Rams, I try to get Puka or Davante Adams on Josh Jobe as much as possible for the Seahawks, because I think then you get your opening. That game, for me, I honestly don't know how it would go. I do think the fact that the Rams – once again would have to come from, you have a shootout in Carolina across the country. You have a shootout in Chicago basically across the country, halfway across the country. Then you got to fly to Seattle.
It's back-to-back-to-back road games.
Would be coming off a win against the Niners. I just think that that is such...
That's a hard road.
That's a hard road to win. However, if there is a team in the NFC that's going to beat the Seahawks, it would be the Rams. Yeah. And I also think that the winner of the Super Bowl will be... I said this, like, before the playoffs started, like, probably, honestly, before, like back half of the season, just...
The NFC is just better.
Yeah, I said the Seahawks and the Rams will play each other in the playoffs. Whoever wins that game, in my opinion, wins the Super Bowl. Yeah. Because whoever wins that game is just going to have so much momentum behind them. Like, if you're the Rams, you're like, okay, we win to Seattle and won. Now we play. Who are we going to play? Can't be that much. Like, can't be worse than that.
Yeah.
Can't be harder than that.
Yeah.
And then also, both these teams, they made the Super Bowl. You're playing in an arena that you played in before. I do think that's... That you play in every year. I do think that's valuable, honestly. You're not going to some random... You're not going to, like, New Orleans, where you barely play. Yeah. You're going to Levi's, where you're used to playing in Levi's. So, we'll see. Derek, who do you think wins that game? I know who Max thinks.
I mean...
Unless you think the Niners are going to win.
No.
Definitely.
No. Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree that it's going to be Seahawks... if it is Seahawks-Rams, whichever team wins that, I think just wins the Super Bowl. I 100% agree on that. I think it all comes down to whether you think the Seattle defense is enough to contain the Rams' offense. And I think if Sam Darnold can have an okay game, which we haven't really seen him do in the playoffs, if he has an okay game, then I think the Seahawks take it.
Yeah, I think McDonald needs to stop overthinking it like he did against the Rams, honestly, for the entire game the first time the Seahawks played them, and then in the first half when the Rams played them. Because once he just kind of let – he stopped trying to do some schemes. He just really let the Seahawks defense just, like, play their game.
Yeah.
Stopped Stafford for all the last drives, like, what they needed to do except for that overtime drive. But to get them – for the drives that they needed to get them back in the game, they were good. And I also think, realistically, the Seahawks have such a good defense. Darnold is going to throw a pick, right? So play super timidly with Darnold. I think you have to kind of, like – this will happen whether it's the Niners, the Rams, or if the Seahawks play Super Bowl and Super Bowl. We have yet to see a deep ball to Rashid Shaheed since he's been on the team. Let Darnold air it out a couple of times.
I don't know if that might have him throw multiple picks, though. And then you're just giving yourself
Darnold's got hurdles clear. He's got two of them in specific. One, that he can play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Two, that he can beat the Rams. And then I guess if it gets there, three, that he can beat the Rams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think... based on how the Seahawks play and based on how Sam Darnold play against the 49ers is how you base how he plays against the
Rams. Yeah, exactly.
If he has a good game, an okay game, based on what they've been doing the rest of the season, I think you can let him be a little, throw it out more. I think you can let him do a little more. But if he doesn't have a good game, I don't think you can take that risk.
Well, as a Seahawks fan, I'm fine if he throws a pick throwing a deep ball to Rashid Shaheed. Like, I'd much rather you set them up at, like, their own 40 or their own 30 or whatever off a pick than what he is known to do, which is... especially on out routes, he underthrows it, or he just really forces it when he doesn't need to. And then oftentimes you have the corner or a linebacker who's just picks it off and then is in so much space. And so, I mean, we saw when the Seahawks went to L.A., the Rams didn't score a touchdown when they started with the ball in their own half. So, I don't know. I can see I can easily see the Rams winning and it being like. See, for me, I think if the Rams are going to win, they have to win by – I think they'll win by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think if it's a close game at home in Seattle, I really think the Seahawks win that game.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
They need to run away with it more than 30-14 with 8:22 to go. Yeah. Like they.
Although, if I think that happens again in the playoffs,
then
I don't think the Rams – I think there's no chance Seattle comes back.
There's no chance
but
ever happens again.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, like – the Rams, like, there's, like, a part of me that just sort of feels like that 30-14 Rams coming back. Like, there's a chance that that was, like, Seattle's, like, best punch, you know, against the Rams in, like, that close game and that they've learned from that. But, you know, I think there's also a scenario where Seattle just goes in there and the Rams are, like, they get blown out by the Seahawks as well.
I do think that is the one thing that excites me a little bit is, kind of the inverse of that is, Seahawks have not had a good game against the Rams yet.
Yeah.
The Seahawks haven't played well. And the fact that lost by two... when Darnold threw four picks.
No, that was the Myers mix.
Yeah. By the way, most clutch punt. Also, ref missed a holding call on JSN. That would have made it like a 45-yarder.
Well, they also missed a blown dead two-point conversion call.
That was
egregious.
Hey, heads up play. last thing we'll talk about then, Texans-Bills. I think this is where we might disagree. I think the Texans would win. Texans hosting. It'd be the Texans hosting their first game.
Correct. I don't think that matters.
No, but I think if you're Josh Allen, you want to play outdoors. Like, Josh Allen is the quarterback that is like,
he doesn't want to play he doesn't want to play in Buffalo.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I don't think he does.
You do. No, you would. I think Josh Allen relies on being the quarterback that can get it done in these like horrible conditions.
True,
yeah. And fair. Because a dome would also minimize CJ Stroud mistakes, I would say, or hopefully, like in theory, it would make it an easier ask. And I just think if you can get to Josh Allen, that's the only way you're going to beat a team. And I think the Texans will get to Josh Allen.
I think.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Are
we just advanced past Bills, Broncos, and Texans, Patriots?
No, we
were talking about.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
We were saying Texans win, Bills. We'll say Bills.
Okay. Okay. So Bills, Texans in the AFC Championship game.
Texans beat the Bills in a regular season, 23-19.
Wow, who cares about that?
I think though we're all kind of pushing past. We never really talked about it in the Bills Jags game. James Cook had like 50 yards. He didn't do anything.
And he ran for 100 when they lost the Texans. Also, Josh Allen threw no touchdowns. Didn't have a touchdown. Threw two picks against that Texas defense. And Davis Mills was the quarterback for the Houston Texans when they beat the Bills.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
so Josh Allen had a bad
though.
Game. If Josh Allen has a good game.
No, yeah, that's
win.
What it'll come down to. But I can also see, right, how Josh Allen just won't have a bad game in that.
It doesn't
scenario.
Matter.
Like he just
I just think there's no way. There's legitimately no way without Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in
the
playoffs that Josh Allen doesn't make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Josh Allen got sacked 8 times in that game, too. So, yeah, that is hard to replicate again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say the Bills. The Bills are obviously the team that scares me the most if the Seahawks were to make the Super Bowl. Just
so it's either Bills, Seahawks, or Rams, Bills in the Super Bowl.
And I think I would like to, like, I think either of the NFC teams wins that. However,
yeah.
I think, honestly, I speak for the Rams, but for me, that's the team I said I would like to see the least in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
the Bills.
Of course.
Because they'd have most of the public behind them.
You have everyone.
Except for, like, Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Everybody would be rooting for the Bills.
And it's one of those things where Josh Allen is, like, I think the Rams and the Seahawks are both teams that really like to have a nice, controlled game. Where they can beat you up, and Josh Allen is a quarterback that can kind of break that and just and on a defense like Seattle's, if you play perfectly and then you just kind of have like a really demoralizing thing where like you should have sacked the quarterback maybe, or you got a great opportunity to, he breaks free and then all of a sudden they score a touchdown. It's like, that can suck. Like that can be so hard to bounce back from.
I also think and this applies to both the Rams and the Seahawks, that you can game play for Drake May and CJ Stroud and Bo Nix easily enough, but Josh Allen, like, he can throw your entire – he's talented enough to throw your entire game plan out of whack in 2 seconds and just take over the game by himself, where I don't really think any of those quarterbacks who probably don't have the playoff experience that Josh Allen has, who don't, are able to do that.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks defense, if they saw that they were playing C.J. Stroud in that Texans O-line, would be like, oh my God, like, this is all I can ask for.
It's like the Jets.
Yeah, we're going to go cook. I mean, when the Texans came to Seattle on Thursday night or on Monday Night Football, CJ Stroud got pressure. The Seahawks broke the franchise record for pressures on a quarterback. Like,
it doesn't surprise me.
That's what that would be a dream. Seeing Bo Nix do. Yeah, all those guys, you see a young quarterback, you're right. You're
literally
like,
anyone
wow.
but Josh Allen.
You're like, oh, this is great. Like, we can eat. Like, we just stack our front four and just go what we've been doing all season. Like,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
But then you see Josh Allen and he can just do whatever.
Yeah, so you're like, no one cares about the Texan. You're like, you'd be like, oh, this is great. No one wants to see. I don't think anyone would root for the Broncos if it was Broncos Seahawks again. I don't think, yeah.
I wouldn't.
I would root for the Broncos because
it would be
Seahawks,
an interesting revenge story, but yeah, okay, that makes sense. Well, the same way, a lot of people don't like the Chiefs, but as a Seahawks fan, I love the Chiefs. Because
I don't understand why people hate the Chiefs.
Because they prevented 2 Niner Super Bowls in the last 4 years, man. I got to give
good.
Mahomes
is
always welcome.
Yeah, he's welcome in my home.
He also did it in heartbreaking fashion for the Niners, too. They choked that one, and then they lost in overtime.
Yeah.
No, that was great. That was great. Friend of Brock Purdy-Ring. But, yeah, honestly, I can't even go as far as to call who would win if it was Rams or Seahawks versus the Bills. Like, I think that one is really, truly, like,
I think
on the day.
I think the Rams have a better shot against the Bills than the Seahawks do.
I actually might agree with you on that. I think the Rams.
I think it's literally just if it's Bills Rams, it's literally just who can score more.
Yeah, and yeah. I would trust the Rams. No, I would trust the Rams more.
Exactly.
I hope as a Seahawks fan, I hope if the Texans get that matchup, the Texans would win, and Seahawks Texans would be.
That'd be preferable. Yeah. To
y'all,
you,
hey, the streamer Ludwig, he made an NFL playoff bracket.
Ludwig,
He predicted the wild card round perfect.
Just cut.
He predicted the wild card round perfectly.
That's not that hard of a playoff round.
Like 100 million people on the internet predicted the wild card round.
This isn't that hard of a playoff round.
His bracket is Seahawks, Rams, NFC Championship, Texans, Bills, AFC Championship.
So you're just loving
it. And then it is Seahawks playing the Texans, and it is the Seahawks winning. We could all agree that Seahawks play the Texans, Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, I think if anybody plays the Texans,
yeah,
I don't think the Texans can beat the Rams.
I think the Seahawks would or the Rams would probably walk into that game as maybe like 5.5 point
Texans
favorites.
The Texans are exactly the type of team that the Rams would lose to in the Super Bowl.
True, I actually could. Yeah, okay.
If the Rams play a good team, they'll win. If they play like one of these underdog teams, they'll take them too lightly and like
almost
lose.
Beat them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's if you're the Rams, the team you'd want to play the most is probably the Broncos.
Oh, 100%.
Everybody wants to play the Broncos
because they're a team that like you. Yeah, but. I think if the Broncos make the Super Bowl, they're going to end up like the Broncos did with Peyton Manning, where they're a team that if you just punch them in the mouth, like they're going to
first play, snap back into the end zone. Yeah,
we don't got to talk about the Broncos in the Super Bowl. We don't got to talk about that.
All right, but that'll wrap it up. Derek's going to scurry on back to the booth to help us close this one out. But it was great talking to both of you. Best time of the year for football. Good time for Max and I as we get a root for teams. And realistically, I think
go Seahawks, baby.
I think
until next
week. I think the Seahawks will be playing the Rams next week, most likely. I hope so. That'd be the best game the NFL could ask for. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the future. We'll see. But I've been Griffin Stevenson, joined by Derek Bullier and Max Langer. This has been NFL Friday. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.